To the book of John tonight, and we're going to be in John chapter number, 15 tonight, John 21 and verse 15, John 21 and verse 15 tonight, as we continue in our series on spiritual health, being a healthy church. And I want us to be a spiritually healthy church, and I believe these lessons each week have helped us and are helping us to do that. And so we'll look at another aspect of what a healthy church is and what a healthy church does. And just to remind you, we all have a part in how healthy our church is. And whatever else you do, and you ought to serve, and you ought to be a part wherever you can, wherever you're able, but there are things that you can do to help your church, and that's just you be as spiritually healthy as you possibly can be. And so I want to encourage us in this respect tonight. John 21, we'll come to verse number 15. I'm going to read verse 15 through 17, and we'll find in this text what will get us started tonight. Begin with verse number 15 of John 21. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. Verse 16. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Interesting exchange between Peter and the Lord. But what I want to draw from that, there's a lot of messages in that, but what I want to draw from that is the fact that the Lord's emphasis on feeding his sheep. And remind us that a healthy church is one that faithfully feeds God's people through the Word of God. And so tonight I want to teach on a healthy church feeds the flock. A healthy church feeds the flock. A lot of this is going to seem obvious to us, but there is always a pressure and a movement throughout every generation has to deal with it of taking the Word of God out of the center of everything we do. If we assemble and just have the Word of God, we've had church. Everything, every fellowship's a bonus. All these other things that we do as a bonus is the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. And so we'll look at a healthy church feeds the flock. Father, help us tonight as we look into your Word. May we get these truths. May we as a church, not just as the pastor, but as the church, realize these important truths, be reminded of them. And Father, may we realize the importance of them and keeping them established in our church. And we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. As a pastor or as the under-shepherd or the shepherd of the church, there's a lot of things that I am required to do. And when I say required, it's part of my responsibility. It's an expectation of the pastor. It is my responsibility as a shepherd to lead the sheep. I must also guard the sheep. I must even search for wandering sheep. And so sometimes it's like, hey, where you been? That's part of what a shepherd's supposed to do. He's looking for wandering sheep. He even has to tend to wounded sheep. Sometimes the sheep get wounded. It's his responsibility to help the wounded sheep. But in addition to all of this, the one responsibility that's at the center of everything is my responsibility is to feed the sheep. Now, let me say this. There are a lot of shepherds, they are good at leading in a certain direction. They're even good at guarding in certain things. They can search and they will connect and they won't let one get far away. They'll even tend to wounded sheep, but if the teaching of the Word of God is not the main thing, the center thing, I submit to you that a shepherd or a pastor has failed because we are supposed to feed the sheep. A shepherd can build an impressive sheepfold. He can organize the flock carefully and effectively. He may protect the pasture from danger, but if the sheep are not fed, they're going to get weak, sick, and die just the same. Of course, we know the analogy here of the church. A church can have beautiful facilities, organized ministries. We can have exciting activities and events. Our church music can be great, and it is. We can have a full calendar to keep us busy and entertained all year long. We can even be growing. But if we're not fed the Word of God, that church is not going to remain healthy. We find in this passage of Scripture very clearly, Jesus did not tell Peter to just gather the sheep. He didn't say just count them, although sheep need to be counted. He didn't say just keep them occupied. What did he say? Three times he said, feed my lambs, or feed my sheep. The health of the flock depends upon whether the flock is being fed. I can say as your pastor, I work hard at making sure, especially on a Thursday night, you work, you come. I want it to be worth you coming for. Now, some of you might be saying, well, Pastor, when are you going to get started? I'm working on it. And the main thing, the music is good. And I remind those involved in music, we're going to do our best. We're going to plan. Every Sunday is going to be a big Sunday. But if it all comes down to it, if we have the Word of God, we can still have church. And it's important that we have the Word of God. Let me just remind the parents, your children, everything else that takes place, make sure that where they're being fed spiritually. And there's a principle there, and part of why we do what we do in our nursery program and our children's program is we teach and feed them the Word of God and not just entertain. Let me give us the points tonight, and I've got to hurry because I have several. Number one, a healthy church understands that the sheep belong to Christ. Well, I get the practical point if you have to feed the sheep, but it's even bigger than that. The sheep belong to the Lord, and the Lord said, feed my sheep. So it's not just whether or not I want to or think I should or agree. The sheep belong to Him. So as a church, we have a responsibility to do what He said to do with the sheep. He said, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. That flock did not belong to Peter, it belongs to Christ. Let me remind us, the church does not belong to the pastor, it doesn't belong to the deacons, it doesn't belong to founding families, it doesn't belong to the staff, it doesn't belong to the big givers or the strong personalities, the church belongs to Jesus Christ. In Acts 20:28, Paul told the Ephesian elders, feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. May I remind us what gives the church its value? It's not how much the property is worth. It's not the history necessarily. It's not the size of the church, but it's the fact that Christ purchased the church with his own blood. May I remind us that every member matters because every member belongs to Him. To that shepherd, every sheep matters because they belong to Him. The great shepherd, every sheep matters because He purchased them. And sometimes it's like, well, that person doesn't matter. They don't have anything to offer. God help us if we ever get that way as a church. Well, they can't give, they can't serve, they can't do. God help us. A shepherd who has a sickly sheep doesn't just throw them aside. There's value. He paid for that sheep. He wants to see it get healthy. The same is true of the church. It's something we must establish, that a healthy church understands that the sheep belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. It belongs to Him. That means as a pastor, shepherding is not ownership. It's stewardship. Your pastor is not the Lord of the flock. I know I've been accused of that because I preach the Bible. I'm a servant of the chief shepherd. And may I remind us, as a healthy church, you say, well, Pastor, this is obvious. I know, but it has to be established because a healthy church understands that only the owner has a right to determine what this church believes. Well, Pastor, I believe this. I don't care. I don't care. You say, well, why don't you care? There should be a good, robust discussion. No, it's not your sheep. It's not your flock. You don't decide what they believe. He decides what they believe. And as the under shepherd, my one responsibility is to teach what he says we believe. So when it's like, we believe this, what I'm saying is God said, this is what we believe. So guess what? That's what we believe. Only he has a right to tell us how to function. Well, I think there ought to be a board that has to. Well, I don't care. I don't have deacons like this now, but I've had them in the past. Well, I think they're deacons. I don't care. Go deacon somewhere else, because you're certainly not being one now. He decides how the church functions. Everybody all right? I don't decide what I preach to you. He does. It's his sheep. Well, I don't know if I agree with your direction of the vision of the church. I don't care. You know why? Because I'm not even deciding that. He's deciding that. The sheep belong to him. All right, we got that established? I can move on to number two if we're all good on that. All right. Number two, a healthy church feeds the flock the word of God. A lot of these are going to be very, very basic, but a healthy church feeds the flock the word of God. Can I tell you, the sheep do not need the shepherd, meaning the under shepherd, the pastor, doesn't need his opinion. I've seen this, I see this all the time on social media. Pastors, let me give my opinion. Nobody cares. I don't care. Certainly, anyway, I'm not going to get off on that. I'm a pastor, so let me give my opinion. Who cares? Now, there's some discernment. You take the scripture, you need to formulate your opinion and your direction on scripture. I'm with you on that. We don't gather to hear political commentary. It's the word of God. Now, I have taken many times, I've taken the Bible, and I have laid society and what's going on up against the Bible and said, let's look through scripture and make sense of what's going on right now. That's the political commentary that we should be doing, because it's through the lens of the word of God. I know how I vote. You probably know how you vote, but this is not going to be a political rally. Say, well, that church down there does it. I don't care. These sheep belong to God. And I have a response. We're here to hear the word of God. Everybody okay? We don't need motivational speeches from the pulpit. Sadly, you look at every clip on social media, you look at everything, it's just a motivational speech. The stages are set up the same. Everything looks the same. I'm going to come out and give you a motivational speech with sprinkle a little scripture out of context in there. The church doesn't need to hear and jump on cultural trends. We don't need storytelling hour on Sunday. We need the word of God. Jesus himself, we know him, the owner. Matthew 4:4 said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The word of God gives us spiritual nourishment. That's why you need to be in church. That's why you need it. The word of God strengthens our faith. It corrects our error. It exposes sin. It comforts our sorrow. It produces wisdom. It creates discernment. Will you permit me to be use myself as a personal illustration without you taking it wrong? I'm gonna do it anyway, but you better not take it wrong. If you do, I don't care. So, I don't know where else this is coming from, but I forgot the personal illustration. No, I feel like at 52 years of age, I have some wisdom. I feel like I have some discernment. a lot of people my age and a little bit younger have a hard time with that because there's some things I can see that they obviously cannot see. And as many times I could give them coloring crayons and a color and they still can't see it. That is not because I am something special, but let me tell you what it is, that from a child, I have been under the Word of God. In the gifts that God equipped me with as a person, combined with the wisdom of the Word of God, saved just shy of my fifth birthday, called to preach at six, staying in, I haven't been perfect, but staying under the preaching of the Word of God, giving myself to the proper training and saying, I'll take the time to do this. Then even as a staff man, taking the time to just, let me just serve. And when I'm up at 52, I have a lot of years of wisdom. This is what some people don't understand about our church. There's many of you that have been under the preaching of the Word of God longer than I've been alive. So that advances you. Why? Because it's the Word of God. That's what a lot of people don't understand about this church. We see through all of it, not because we have extra gifts. It's because there's been a steady diet, never straying from the Word of God, week after week, month after month, year after year, decade after decade. And young people, I say that for your benefit as well tonight. Don't waste the opportunity. Parents, one day your children are going to choose, but put them in a position to be under the Word of God week after week and year after year and so far ahead. But that's what we're supposed to do. There are some people who grow up in church and they get no Bible. Then we say, why didn't they stay in the church? Church wasn't the problem. They didn't get what they're supposed to get at church. I've used this illustration, and I'm never going to get through all nine tonight, but we'll get as far as we can go. You know, we take the kids out of church, and we entertain them. Let's have some Marvel superheroes come and teach them moral lessons. That's not what we do here. I'd rather them know about Jesus, John the Baptist, Paul, John, than I would Spider-Man, Captain America. I'd rather have them know about them. But what we do is we take them out of church, teens, instead of being in Bible study, let's give them some pizza and entertain them. Then they graduate and you say, you can't come to the pizza fellowship, you got to go to church. And they've never had a diet of the Word of God. So I don't know if I believe that. Look at the young people of this church. A healthy church is not just talking about Scripture, mentioning it in a token passing. It's teaching it and explaining it. We don't use the Bible as a decoration at church. Christian, don't make it a decoration in your life. Meaning, okay, I'm going. Here's my decoration. I'm going to invoke the Bible every once in a while. No, we have to teach it and learn. That's why you got to be in Sunday school. When are you having a Bible study? We have it every Sunday morning. No, I want a serious Bible study. That's when we teach it. I don't want to go to the shallow independent Baptist churches. I want to go where we really get into the Word. I would challenge them to be able to make it through our Sunday school series because it is the Word of God. By the way, a church opens the Bible, declares what God has said, explains what God said, and calls us to obey it. We never have to vote on, are we going to obey Scripture? By the way, I want you to think about this when I say it. There's a difference between preaching from the Bible and preaching the Bible. There's a lot of people who preach from the Bible, but they're not preaching Bible. Healthy churches preach from the Bible, preach the Bible as well as preach from the Bible. Some of you, you're going to have to think on that for a little while. Number three, a healthy church provides a balanced spiritual diet. The health community wants you to have a balanced spiritual diet. I believe in a balanced spiritual diet. Like if I go on a taco run, I got to balance that with burritos. I mean, it's just, you have to balance that. Some of you, that's the most response I've gotten out of you so far. But isn't it true, a person is going to have a harder time remaining physically healthy if they're only eating dessert? Likewise, a church cannot remain spiritually healthy if it only hears one subject of the Word of God, one kind of message. Paul told the Ephesian elders, I have not shunned to declare to you all the counsel of God. See, a healthy church needs preaching on salvation, on doctrine, on holiness, prayer, the family, the church, prophecy, stewardship, forgiveness, spiritual warfare, Christian service, grace, judgment, heaven, hell. Needs the whole counsel of God. Some churches preach only encouragement. I love to preach encouragement. There's some that only preach correction. Others, we only preach prophecy. We're only preaching evangelistic messages. All of those need to be preached. We need all the counsel of God. So let me help some of you. When I said I'm doing a series on the home on Sunday night, some of you probably said, well, I don't need that. Yeah, you do. If you live by yourself, you have a home. You are a home. There are principles that apply to you. And by the way, if you live by yourself, don't miss Sunday night. We need the whole counsel of God. This statement is not original with me, but I'm going to say it. A healthy pulpit comforts the afflicted and afflicts the comfortable. Some of you are saying, I've only seen the afflicted side of that. Well, get it together, will you? A healthy pulpit encourages the weary, but it also warns the careless. Teaches the ignorant, and that word means a lack of knowledge. And by the way, if you're a newer Christian, you don't know everything. Let me help you. The ones that have been saved for 40 years, they don't know everything either. Your pastor don't know everything. Some of you come ask me a Bible question, and I say, I get this look on my face, and I say, you know, let me pray about that. You know what it means? It's like, okay, let me go look and see what the answer is. Where was I going with that? We want to correct the wondering. And this takes me to the next point, number four. A healthy church feeds the lambs as well as the sheep. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Then he also said, feed my sheep. I think all of us can understand lambs and sheep are not the same and they do not have identical needs. A lamb is young and it is vulnerable. It doesn't know everywhere it's supposed to go. It doesn't know what to avoid. It doesn't recognize danger. This is true of new believers. This is true of those young in Christ. That's why a healthy church warns and instructs. And by the way, to that younger generation, to the teens, the young adults, even young couples, you don't know everything. And let me help you. You're not supposed to know everything. You can't know everything. You're not dumb if you don't know. Well, you're not supposed to know everything. And let me get ahead of some things that I'm going to get to in more detail. You're not ignorant if you're a new parent and you don't know everything you're supposed to do. Let me help you. There's nothing that looks more foolish to somebody who's had and reared all of their children to some new mom who's never had a baby and said, this is the way I'm doing everything, and I know this is the better way to do it, and this is how I'm doing it, and I'm going to do this and this and this and this. Everybody looks at you and is like, whatever. You will surrender sooner than you think, or your child is going to be a psycho. But as a young adult, don't be afraid to come ask for counsel. You've never been 18 before. You've never been 19 before. You dead sure don't want to go to another 19-year-old and say, help me make this life's decision. Because he's looking at you going, it sounds good to me. We understand. It's not just enough. We want somebody to get saved. We celebrate that with him. But we don't want to just leave him unattended. It would be equivalent to a shepherd having his flock and a sheep gives birth to a lamb. And we say, look at this. This is wonderful. Okay, good luck. No, we have a responsibility to teach them how to read the Bible, how to pray, how to resist temptation, attend faithfully, witness, give, to serve. The Great Commission does not end with a conversion. Jesus commanded us. Did you hear that word, us? Not just the pastor. Us to teach believers to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. That's not just for the pastor. I remind our Sunday school teachers all the time, do not shy away from teaching those in your Sunday school class or saying you need to be giving to missions. You need to be tithing. You need to be back on Sunday night. Well, I don't want to offend them. They don't know. You have to extend that invitation. You have to be willing to say, let me tell you why this is important. We get mad at people for not doing what they're supposed to do when we've never told them. We've never taught them. Number five, a healthy church understands that feeding requires personal shepherding. Now, if I haven't been personal with you yet, I'm going to be personal with you now on this point dealing with personal shepherding. A healthy church understands that feeding requires personal shepherding. Preaching from the pulpit is essential. It's essential. You know, back in COVID, it's like, if it's non-essential, don't go. Well, then, see you Sunday. Because preaching from the pulpit is essential. You're never going to be saved long enough where you don't need preaching from the pulpit. Never. It's essential. And if you will get the preaching from the pulpit, I do the majority of my shepherding from this pulpit, from the preaching. The size of our church, there's always counseling appointments. There's always, can I come and see you, Pastor? And I am 100% okay with that. But the size of our church, I should have more just statistically, but I don't because I do a lot of my shepherding from the pulpit. Now, I try not to show it, but let me tell you something that frustrates your pastor. When a member wants to come talk to me about something that I've been preaching from the pulpit, I need counsel in this area. And I'm thinking, where have you been? I covered that in this series. I covered it in this message. Where were you? Well, guess what? Now you're here turning your Bible. I'm preaching the whole message to you. I don't really do that. But that's where shepherding comes from. That's a broad meeting of needs. But with that, sheep have individual needs as well. As I preach to the flock, some are wounded and some are not. So the wounded need some personal shepherding. Some are weaker than others, so that weak need some personal shepherding. Are you with me? Some are frightened. You have those of you that have animals, you get an animal, some of them are just skittish. That's just who they are. That's what they are. People get that way too. So they need some personal shepherding. As I generally shepherd, there are some sheep that are stubborn. And for the two of you that don't fall in that category, there's some personal shepherding. Even in a flock of sheep, there are sheep that get isolated from the flock. They need personal shepherding. See, a healthy church is going to provide more than that public preaching, the public shepherding. It's going to provide some personal care. See, Paul also taught those Ephesian elders to go publicly and from house to house. Certainly, this is giving the gospel, but it's more than that. Healthy shepherding includes personal encouragement. There's hospital visits. There is counseling. There's discipleship. There's prayer. Oh, the pastor comes. There's correction in those visits. There's, why, where were you? I'm checking on you. You missed church. Strengthening, discouraged. Hey, let's talk. And this happens. This happens all the time. It's like, hey, why don't we get together and talk? Or I'll stop somebody before service. I'll say, let's talk. And it's because they're discouraged. But your pastor's not coming to you to scold you because you're discouraged. He's coming to you because he realizes you're discouraged, and saying, let me give you some personal shepherding. I've preached the message to everybody that everybody can get help from. But in the midst of the flock, there's a sheep that needs some personal shepherding. The personal shepherding is comforting the grieving. Can you imagine a sheep resisting the shepherd? Because he has a need. The same is, that's what the shepherding is. A shepherd has to know the condition of the flock. I'm going to tell you some of the things I do so now you can counteract it. I come in a certain time before the service, and I make my way around and say, what are you doing? Pastor's just so friendly. We're so blessed to have an extrovert as pastor. But you know what I'm doing? I'm checking the pulse. I'm seeing how you interact with me. I'm seeing who's not here. I'm seeing whose head's down. I'm seeing who's normally talking, but now they're sitting. I was like, what are they doing here again? You know, you know what I'm doing? As the shepherd, I'm trying the best I can to get the feel, if you will, or what's going on with the sheep. I've got the message the Lord has put on my heart. I'm going to preach it, and I've been doing this long enough to know. I don't even have to understand why I'm preaching it. I know it's going to meet the needs. Because those are not my sheep, they're his, and this is the message he wants, it's his word, it's going to help. But I also was, okay, here's some personal shepherding. And there's, you know, sometimes all you need is pastors say, hey, what's up? Or to make fun of your football team. That's what's kept Brother Jimmy in church all these years. The Dolphins are going to win it this year, Brother Jimmy, I can feel it. Anyway, Proverbs 27:23, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. By the way, this would be good for you as parents to do as well. See, people can never become just a number. Every member has a name. Every name has a story. Every story contains burdens, battles, and spiritual needs. A healthy church sees people. And by the way, the pastor does the best he can to do that, but that's where a Sunday school teacher also comes in. That's where a soul winner comes in with a new convert. That's where as Titus teaches, a mature woman, I'm not going to use aged, but a mature lady helps a younger lady. By the way, it would do us well to do that. The mature man helps the young man. Because we've gotten to a place where the young only listen to the young. Number six, and I'll cut it off here in a minute after nine. A healthy church protects the flock from poison food. You know that not everything that's called Christian is spiritually healthy? Matter of fact, some of the most unhealthy things you can digest have the name Christian on it. Some teaching sounds religious, but it's full of error. Some teaching uses Scripture, but distorts the Scripture. This is common today. Some teaching appeals to emotion while weakening your convictions. Acts 20, if you want to notate it, is a warning. There's warnings in there that grievous wolves would enter among the flock. They won't always stay outside. They will come into the flock speaking perverse things. See, a healthy church cannot control what a wolf does, but a healthy church can guard and not allow those outside voices to feed the people. The pulpit must be guarded. The classroom must be guarded. This is why every teacher teaches the Sunday school lesson that I give them. Because the message is going to be control. Well, you are a control freak. I don't care. No, I'm guarding the word that is preached. It's taught. The music ministry has to be guarded. And if you listen to some, oh, this is a blessing to me. Don't me, Lord, put this song on my heart, and I've been working on it all week. God's told me that I should sing this Sunday. Well, He didn't tell me. And until He tells me, I don't care. I'm just going to keep saying that tonight. It has to be guarded because there's music. And I just finished an article on this. One of the most dangerous things about music is the phrase, it's just a preference. Because there's doctrine in music. It has to be guarded. So even the children's ministry has to be guarded. We must ask the question, is this biblical? Is it doctrinally sound? Does this honor Christ? Now, obviously, if something is heresy, we do not want it taught anywhere. Does this honor Christ? If it doesn't, we don't want it. If it's not biblical, we don't want it. But here's a question that we must also submit to. Is this going to strengthen or weaken the flock? There's a lot of decisions I make just based on that. Is it going to make us, I get the size of our ministry and everything. Everybody gets their calendar for the year. This one's got this calendar. This one's got this calendar. And they go, Pastor, can we do this and this and this? And I try and be very accommodating, but sometimes I'm like, nah. I don't know what's wrong with it. I didn't say anything was wrong with it. But these course of decisions will weaken. Nobody did anything wrong, so let me say this before I use this illustration, because I don't want all the heads to turn. But I recently told Brother Medford and Brother Zarn, we play ball games on these 2 days. That's it. I didn't realize it sucked the wind out of the room like it did. They didn't do anything wrong. We went from not having games to getting games. That's what we wanted. But the big picture now, if we continue down this trend, it's going to weaken the flock. Because I do not want one of the 60 in 12 stones to have to decide, do I go to a ball game or do I go to 12 stones where it's strengthening me? So not every decision is just, is it doctrinal or not? Some of it is, is it going to strengthen or weaken the flock? A loving shepherd does not knowingly lead sheep into poison pasture. That's why if you come to me and you say, hey, I'm thinking about, you know, this direction, or you know, I feel like I need to leave home for college, and I'm thinking about this, and or we want to be a part of this. If I know that there's poison in that field, I'm going to say no. This is where you trust the shepherd. I don't want to get up here and take a Sunday night and explain, because it's not necessary. Eat in these fields. I will if I have to. But see, protection is part of the feeding. Number 7. We're close. Should we just go away, all the way to the end? Y'all didn't seem too eager about that. A healthy church creates an appetite for truth. Part of a healthy church is not just to provide the spiritual food, but to develop a spiritual hunger. Peter wrote, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. A healthy believer is going to hunger for Scripture. You get two reactions when it's 8:04 and I'm on 0.7. I've already told you I have 0.9. Those who are new to Bible preaching or they haven't been saved is like, oh, you could have gone all night long. And some of them mean it. And others are like, oh my goodness, land the plane already. You know, we're full, Pastor, we're full. But we ought to, and I'm teasing with that, you know, but as believers, we should hunger for Scripture. It's okay to be tired on Thursday. You've had a full week and be like, oh, my body doesn't want to go, but I'm going to get something when I get there. We don't just endure the preaching. We desire it. Bible study, we're not treating it just as an obligation. It's nourishment. You know how to tell one way you can tell a declining church is when its health is declining, is when we lose our appetite for the truth. You know, the sermons are always too long, and I admit some of them are. But the Bible study is unnecessary. Oh, it's doctrine. This week's Sunday school lesson, the doctrine of salvation. I'm saved. I know about it. When a person that's sick physically, they'll often lose their appetite. They haven't eaten in 4 days. We got to get them to the doctor. We better do something or they are going to be in serious trouble. But yet we as Christians, we could go without eating and it's like, why are you trying to ruin my life? I'm a Christian. I'm an independent. I could talk to God. Yeah, but you're not eating. I'm alarmed, I'm concerned because you're not eating. We need to do something to get you healthy again. I'm as right with God as I've ever been. You hadn't eaten in a month and a half. And you're going to tell me you're healthy? Yeah, try that on your doctor. I can't say that long because some of us wouldn't be here. But go that way. I'm healthy as a horse. I got to hasten. Hebrews 5. What number are we on? Number 7? Okay, I got confused there. The goal of, I said, a healthy church produces believers who can feed others. Have I given you that one? Is that where we're at? I don't care. Okay. Hebrews 5 describes believers who should have become teachers but still needed someone to teach them the first principle of the word. The reason why you feed is so you can eventually get strong enough to teach somebody else. And there's a lack of teachers because somebody hadn't been feeding on the word and they should be teaching. Our country is going to hell. Yeah, because you stop eating. Churches stop feeding their people. They stop eating so they could turn around and teach somebody else. Healthy believers eventually learn to help nourish others. It doesn't mean every person has to teach a Sunday school class, although some of you should be teaching a Sunday school class. But it means parents teach their children. Mature believers disciple new converts. You see somebody new in the church, it's okay. Don't come up to them and like, okay, here's your checklist. You got to do A, B, and C. But build a relationship with them. And whether the pastor notices they're struggling or the Sunday school teacher notices they're struggling, you can notice whether they're there or not. That's teaching the word of God. You strengthen another member. You encourage a younger Christian. The healthiest churches are not just the ones where the pastor feeds everyone. See, we deal with it with the Sunday School Revolution because I want us to be healthier, not weaker. And in order to do that, I had to let some people go and teach and feed others so that they in turn can get healthy enough to feed others. Was that number 8? No, number 7 is a healthy church creates an appetite for truth. Number 8 is a healthy church produces believers who can feed others. Y'all got me confused. But that brings me to number 9, the one you all been looking for. My iPad shot up and I couldn't tell where I was. I'm not right with God we're using it anyway, but a healthy church feeds from love, not just duty. Now, I believe in doing what you're supposed to do. I believe in that. I don't want a soldier in our military that doesn't understand duty, that doesn't live by duty. That's just not the way it's going to work. But just like we talked about charity, a more excellent way, John 21 begins with a question, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Then he said, fulfill your obligation. He's saying, now you fulfill this obligation, feed my sheep. He connected shepherding with love. Why do we preach the word of God? Because it's not just my responsibility, but it's out of love. Why do we teach? Out of love. Why do you go visit? Out of love. Why do even as a pastor, when I have to correct, why do I do that? It's not because it's fun. I get no joy. I get no pleasure out of that. But it's out of love. Why do we counsel? Out of love. Why do we disciple? It's because we love Christ. Let me caution us. Ministry without love becomes mechanical, whether we have the Word of God or not. If we're just doing it to do it, and we've lost the love for Him, which means in turn we'll lose the love for others, it's just going to become mechanical. You wouldn't know if my preaching all of a sudden was without love. Now, I can preach firm, I can preach pointed, but you know there's love behind it. You know that I love, I'm saying this to convince some of you tonight, you know that I love you. You know that I really care. You know all of those, but you know. And preaching without love becomes harsh. I can correct from the pulpit, and you'll say, Pastor, thank you, I know you love me. But I can even preach in love, but it can become harsh because I really don't have it. Correction without love is just cruel. And if we serve without love, you know what we do? We get spiritually exhausted. So the healthiest shepherding flows from a heart that loves Jesus. Now, I can say this, I love you. And it's one reason why I do what I do. But it's not the main reason. The main reason is because I love Him. If I keep that as a priority, then it's going to be what it's supposed to be. Same is true for you. I believe you love your pastor. You can say amen to that. That'd be okay with me. Well, Pastor, land that plane and we'll love you even more. Let me make this point. But your relationship and my relationship will be what it's supposed to be if you love Him most. We're growing. I was looking at the crowd tonight. It's like, this used to be a Sunday night crowd. And here we are on a Thursday night, and we got people missing. We're going to continue to grow. I get the attendance. I look at it. But it's not just a number. It's how are we growing spiritual health? Are we growing spiritually? I could take some things. I've got a good enough brain. I can organize, and we could change some things, and we could get a crowd. But you would have to set aside some of this, because not everybody wants this. Not everybody understands how bad they need it. So we could do that, but we would just be spiritually unhealthy. I'd rather be healthy. And so as a church, what are we going to keep the focus? The Word of God. The Word of God. It is the focus. It's what must remain the focus. I love fellowships. I love the activities. And as we grow and the responsibilities come greater, I'm not able to do as many of those that I'd like to do with you. Because you can't just Google on Saturday night to bring something to feed the sheep on Sunday. You can't do that. I love, I got to keep the main thing. And as a Sunday school teacher, I want to teach Sunday school, but you're going to have to study. Now, I'll help you. I'll give you what to study. The parents should be teaching their children. Let's be a church that keeps spiritually healthy, the Word of God. Don't be intimidated by these quote-unquote mega churches that have no Bible. I'd submit to you that if you don't have a Bible, you're not a church. Because you have to have a Bible. And so let's keep everything built. If a church is healthy that way, you know how your home can be healthy? The Bible. You know how your life can be healthy? The Bible. Father, help us to hold to your word, promote your word.